God is all about new things. Isn't he? He loves creating new things. Always. He's always about the new. He likes to replace the old. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We go through this experience when we accept Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. Say new. This scripture is preached by the men in the jail ministry to the men that they get on and minister to every night. Faithfully, these men give up their Monday nights to get on there to minister God's word to the men who are incarcerated down there. Thank you, sir. See, this gives them a future and a hope. And because you know what they tell them? You guys are new. Say new. The salvation experience is undoubtedly the most important experience one will ever have with the Lord. Because, see, it's in that moment that you know for sure, should anything ever happen to you, that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with Him. But, see, that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. See, it's the first chapter out of hundreds of chapters just waiting to be written about the journey and our relationship with our loving Abba Father. I don't know about you, but I know how my book started out, and it didn't start out good. Yeah. No, it started out lost, wandering, starving, and the only place to go was hell. Yeah. Come on, but God came into my life and changed everything. God never intended salvation to be the beginning and the end of our getting to know Him. Salvation is a starting point in our relationship with Him. It's what you call the introduction, so to speak. Oftentimes, though, many people never make it to the next area, which is the growing period. See, they don't get to there in their relationship with Jesus, which should be and is your whole life journey. You build upon it if you let it be. Just let it be. He's speaking words of wisdom. Just let it be. Getting to know the Lord up close and personal seems like it should be just a natural thing that evolves. We know about evolution. And whoever thought that up had a brain freeze. That's all I can think. It just, their brain was not working at all. How can you look at that, at what we have, and not know that someone created, not evolved? We didn't evolve. We were created in the likeness of God. You know, after all, if you think about it, if someone were going to take you to the most wonderful place ever known to mankind, and that you were going to be spending eternity with that individual, wouldn't you think you would want to get to know him just a little bit before he arrives? Seems it's just mind-boggling, isn't it? But people don't. So many want to go, but so few really want to get to know the one who's coming to pick them up before he gets here. God didn't design it that way. He made it easy to get to know him. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In verse 17 goes on to say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Why do you say might be saved? It's a choice. We all have a choice. And everybody that's in here made the right choice. Yes, praise God. All we have to do, though, and we got to convince others, is to simply believe. Yeah. How could something so easy be so hard? Think about that. It is that easy. And it's a simple prayer. And you have to, when you talk to people about it and you present it, the Holy Spirit's there, their eyes will go, "That's all there is to it? Yeah. Well, you don't understand. I'm a whatever religion they are." And, "Well, it doesn't have, I don't care about what your religion is. I just want to know, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord?" And they'll look down, "Well, I got this that says, do you have Jesus in your heart?" And when they start saying that they're not sure, you can say, "Well, I know how we can make sure." Yeah. And that's, but we make it easy. If you make it hard, don't try to blow them away with scriptures or anything. They have no idea. Right. And let the Holy Spirit lead you. Don't push it. Let the Holy Spirit do the job. Amen. And he will. Yes, he will. See, if this world would ever wake up and just realize everything that they are looking for, happiness, contentment, love, peace, wealth, opportunity, knowledge, all those things and more are found through the one who created them. Why wouldn't anyone want to look anywhere else? Look to the one who created. Simply, a lot of them, because they don't know. They just don't know. Or they know and they refuse to believe. I've talked to a few of those. And it's like talking to a concrete block. It ain't going nowhere. It's like it's going, ain't making no penetration. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's the way it seems. You might have a whole room down there at the jail, right? And you're hitting block walls, and all of a sudden, whoa, all of a sudden you can feel your spirit goes to that one. If it's for that one, that's why you're there. Because when you get one, then you'll get two, and then you'll get three. You just got to follow the Lord's leading. Jesus came so we could experience all that God has to offer us, which is everything that Jesus has available to him. Everything that's available to Jesus is available to us. And with everything that Jesus has available to him on the line, why wouldn't everyone want to know him? That's a question that has been asked down through the ages. Why wouldn't they want the best? Why settle for second best when you can have the best? When you got Jesus, you've got the best. There's nothing better. That's the way my life's been since Jesus moved in to my heart. I've had nothing but the best. Now you can say, "Well, you've been through this, you've been through that." I've got the best. I know what I have. I'm secure in who I am in Christ. We all should be that way. Our identity should be through Him. Because the more we get to know of Him, the more we do, the less it becomes about us. And the more it becomes about Him. The more of the control in our lives we turn over to God, the less control we have to hang on to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. You don't have to go very far. NLT says, either way, Christ's love controls us. What controls us? What's love got to do with it? Everything. Every scripture seems like we run through. And what? Love. Love keeps coming up, does it not? Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life, say new, will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Does turning over control of our lives and destiny to God mean that we're out of control? See, I think sometimes people feel and think that way. See, most would never admit it, but the lack of control issues, they keep us from receiving everything that God has for us. It's being out of control of our lives. And that means one thing. If you're out of control, having God's goodness, blessings, and unmerited favor showered on and over your life, if that's what being out of control is, then I would say we don't just want to be out of control. We want to be totally out of control, right? And we want to let God have His complete control and His way in our lives. Because you aren't doing a good job controlling it. Because I know I don't control mine well. That's why I got to have the leading of the Holy Spirit. Each time that someone comes into church, though, they should have that experience. It should be a life-changing experience. Every time someone comes in, even when you come in, as veterans as you are, it should come in new and fresh. It's life-changing. Every time you hear the word, it's life-changing. You get an awareness of what God is saying to you. And He's speaking to you tonight. Why do you want to be in control? Think about it. The less control you have and the more you keep giving to Him, the better off you are. The better off you are. You see, the power of God in your life should be that life-changing experience. No one should ever come into His presence and remain the same. Never the same, right, brother? Never the same. That life-changing power is available to all who will choose to experience. And see, that is that being the key word there. Will. Will. It's amazing how much our will influences what we do and what we become, not only in life, but in our spiritual walk too. Some people don't want to experience anything new in their life or walk with the Lord. See, they're stuck the way things are. I've been this way for 50 years now. Why change? It all still works for me. The squeaky wheel, it needs a little bit of oil once in a while, but it's okay. It works just fine. So then why would I want to change? They don't want to change anything. My question is, why in the world would anyone want to stay the same way for 50 years? See, God's not that way. He likes new. Say new.
New.
Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Says, the Lord speaking, said, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Yeah. Who's going to do a new thing?
Yeah.
That's right. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is all about doing new things, so much so that it springs forth from Him, and He wants you to be aware of it.
Yeah.
He wants to take you to new levels. He wants to take you to new heights, especially in your life and in your walk with Him. In Psalm 2, verse 8, the Lord says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions. Your inheritance. Your inheritance. Really? Yeah. Okay. Psalm 2, verse 8. But look at verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Today I have begotten you. Who's he speaking about here? He's speaking about Jesus. You are a joint heir with Jesus. Ask me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. It's part of your inheritance. And the ends of the earth for your possessions. And just to make sure, this is for my buddy Nick back there. Hebrews chapter 1, Nick. Hebrews chapter 1. And look to verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. We're talking about Jesus. Just to make sure you didn't think we were making that up. Good one for you, bro. Amen. I love Nick. Him and I have had some good conversations. God is willing to go to great lengths for His kids. Now you know you are His kids, right? So what's that make you, Tim? That's right, a king's kid. So it says, he will make a road in the wilderness. He'll make a pathway no matter where you're at and what you're going through. He will get you through it. He will lead you. He will direct you. He will make your pathway straight and plain. All you have to do is acknowledge him. And when you're thirsty and dry, he provides the river in the driest situation you could be in. That river could be in finances, could be in health. He'll just pour it out on you. He will. We just got to simply believe. See, because when we hear that said, we right away start to think. It's your whole problem. Quit thinking about it and start believing it. Quit the stinking thinking. I know Timmy likes saying that, stinking thinking, but you know, that's what we got to get away from. We got to get back to, let's simply believe. Believe. Believe you receive. And when? When you pray. That's it. Because that's what Jesus said to do. Jesus spoke that. Yes, sir. God says, forget about the former things. I want to do a new thing.
Amen.
New. That's right. For you. But in order to experience it, you have to be willing. Willing to walk out of the old and into the new one with Him that's available to you. Step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. And when you step out of the boat, just keep your focus. Keep your focus. Because you're going to get hit with everything that can come flying at you, including the kitchen sink. But you keep your focus, and you'll just go, that one missed me. That one went by. Oh, right? I do one of Jack's moves, but I can't get my leg up. But that's it. You got to be willing to go out there with Him. Go out there with Him. Trust Him. Trust Him totally. When you trust Him totally, He'll take you through that major surgery and give you a brand new liver. He'll give you a brand new liver. Well, where are you going to get that brand new liver from? Somebody who walks off the street. Praise God, He walks off the street. And He didn't bring you an old one, He brought you a young one. Hallelujah. And what He does for someone, He'll do for everyone. He's not a respecter of persons, is He? No, He's not. And it's hard. I know it. When you're in a battle, it's hard. Sometimes you feel like you're there all by yourself. You got to realize He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's there. He's in you. And greater is He that is in you than any infection that can stay in your body. Believe me, that's what it takes. A little bit of faith, a little bit of belief. And it's just like I was talking with Denise. Everybody knows when we say mustard seed side thing. Well, I related it. I said, look, you take that sunflower seed. You all have seen a sunflower seed, right? You chewed them. You take that seed and you plant it in the ground. How big does that sunflower get to be? Pretty big, doesn't it? That's the same way your faith works. And when it gets up there, what happens? You get this big old flower, and what's in the center of that flower? Whole bunch more seed, whole bunch more faith to go out to be planted and to make things happen in your life is what happens. Amen? Amen. Okay. You got to remember, though, that the enemy, the devil, he knows this better than anyone. Because he has experienced defeat many times. When someone gets a hold of what we're talking about here, he knows that he's in trouble. He knows that he's lost. And he's going to go to great lengths to get you off of the Word. He's going to get you distracted and telling you, you don't need to read this morning. Oh, no, 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 no. You need to start your day in the Word. And if you get an opportunity at lunchtime, get in the Word. You get it when you're done at night, that's what I'd be going to bed with, the Word. You want the comfort of a restful sleep?
Yes, sir.
Before you go to bed, read the Word. Read the Word. The Word works. Amen. The devil knows it's like taking the blinders off. It's a night and day type of experience for us. I was thinking about having Kyle when I said that, taking just put all the lights on in this sanctuary. Boom! That's what happens to us. When we finally get that revelation, it's like, wow, why didn't I get that? It's taken me all these years. I've said that to myself. It's taken me all these years. I thought, wow, what was holding me up? Well, I had to cut the grass instead of going out and getting in the Word a little bit. Well, you know what? I figured I'd watch the rest of the ball game tonight instead of reading the Word. Then I'll go to bed all frustrated because they lost and because they made stupid pitching moves, you know, that they shouldn't have made. You know, That's what we do to ourselves. I do it to me. And then I say, okay, now I got to sit down. That's why at my house, you can ask Leanne, I'm not allowed to watch the football games. She says, Dad, you get too into it. You get too into it. I think I've got it under control. She says, nah, nah, nah. So I try to, I like to just go, okay, what's going on? Okay. Oh, they're winning. I can turn the game on.
That's right.
All right. You know, I don't want to watch them when they're losing. You know? Yeah, I know. Coach fan I am, right? Well, I just know what affects me. The Apostle Paul, though, before his life-changing conversion, we've got to remember, he was a highly educated religious leader. He was a Pharisee. And that's why the devil, he tries to make the things of God seem like they're so foreign to you. Seems like they're not of God at all when we know they are. We know for a fact through the prayers that God answered and gave Denny the vision he has. And to God be all the glory. That's who did that. I know there was doctors there, but we know who guided those doctors' hands. So, but he wants to take our vision off of a lot of the different things like that. So you got to remember, now Paul was there when Stephen gave that great sermon about on the history of Israel. And he was talking to a bunch of Jews there, right? It was all about what God had done for them. If you remember, he was addressing them pretty hard. And he was telling them how they actually resisted, and they were kicking along the way and screaming. Screaming. These people had life handed to them. But they couldn't be left alone for a day without going astray. We need total supervision, it seems like 24/7. That's why we got to keep the communication open, because we live in a world that will pull us away. And we don't want to pull away. We want to draw closer.
Amen.
Closer. Yes. Closer to Him. So turn to Acts chapter 7 there. And it says he's been really telling them the history and really giving them an earful. So Stephen, he doesn't hold nothing back. Okay, and we're going to pick up there on verse 51. Now remember, Paul is highly educated in the scriptures. All right? Now, this is the Message Bible. And he's speaking to them, and he's been hitting them pretty hard. And then he says, and you continue so bullheaded, calluses on your hearts, flaps on your ears, deliberately ignoring the Holy Spirit. You're just like your ancestors. Was there ever a prophet who didn't get the same treatment? Your ancestors killed anyone who dared talk about the coming of the Just One. Now that's Jesus. And you've kept up the family tradition, traitors and murderers, all of you. You had God's law handed to you by angels, gift wrapped, and you squandered it. At that point, they went wild. A rioting mob of catcalls and whistles and invective, which means insulting or abusive language. And we know what kind of language that is. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, hardly noticed. He only had eyes for God, whom he saw in all his glory with Jesus standing at his side. He said, oh, I see heaven wide open and the Son of Man standing at God's side, yelling and hissing. The mob drowned him out. Now in full stampede, they dragged him out of town and pelted him with rocks. The ringleaders took off their coats and asked a young man named Saul to watch them. As the rocks rained down, Stephen prayed, "Master Jesus, take my life." Then he knelt down, praying loud enough for everyone to hear, "Master, don't blame them for this sin. Don't blame them for this sin." His last words, then he died. When people are casting stones at you, what are you to do? Forgive. Forgive. Yeah. Forgive. Yeah. No, we got to forgive. He was being pelted with stones, and he forgave. As Stephen died, he spoke those same, very similar words that Jesus spoke, didn't he? When Jesus was on the cross, driving nails into his hands, what did Jesus say? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Forgive them. While he was being crucified, he prayed for them. He prayed to the Father in heaven. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is so key to so many things for all of us. We have to realize that. Perfect love casts out fear. Am I right? So we need to be perfected in love. And if you're not forgiving, you're not perfected in love. And if you have fear in some things you're dealing with, think real hard. Am I holding unforgiveness in my heart? Because if you hold that in, you'll have a life of fear. Your confidence level will be gone. And it's love. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Love forgives. Love forgives. But you know what it also does? It forgets. It forgets. That's a problem. One little thing happens, and you remember something that happened 10 years ago. You can't live in the past. You can't live in the past. What's happened in the past is past. If that person comes to you and said, "Forgive me," forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, all them coals just got dumped on you. Forgiveness is a key thing for us. Especially if you want to walk in agape love. After Saul, as he was called then, watched this awesome display of courage by Stephen, this man full of the Holy Spirit and the new thing God was doing, what did he do? He held their coats while they stoned Stephen to death. By him doing this, it meant he was consenting to Stephen's death. But that was just the beginning for him, especially in his persecution of the church. He just got a taste. It's like a wild animal. Once it bites and gets a taste of that raw meat, you got to do something with that wild animal because you'll never get it tamed again. Once they taste it, he tastes that. But this is a highly educated man in the laws. And he knows the prophets. But he was blinded. He couldn't see what he already knew. He couldn't see. Acts chapter 8 there, verse 3. And we're going to stay with the Message Bible. But Acts chapter 8, verse 3. And Saul just went wild, devastating the church, entering house after house after house, dragging men and women off to jail. Forced to leave home base, which was Jerusalem, the followers of Jesus all became missionaries. They were forced out and had to go into the missionary fields, didn't they? What did they have to do? They had to go out and preach the word. Wherever they were scattered, they preached the message about Jesus. Going down to Samaria, or to a Samaritan city, Philip proclaimed the message of the Messiah. When the people heard what he had said and saw the miracles, the clear signs of God's action, they hung on every word. Many who could neither stand nor walk were healed that day. The evil spirits protested loudly as they were sent on their way. And what joy in the city. What joy in the city. Because those spirits were leaving. Because the believers were casting them out. Believers, you can cast out the spirits. You can cast out the spirits. Don't ever think you can't. Because what can control another individual that you're having issues with, there's a spirit behind it. Once you figure it out, then you come against it in the name of Jesus and you cast it out. And it's gone. It's going to try to resist. But you just keep saying, go. And every time it goes turn on, I said, go. Go. You leave. Leave now. And it has to leave. Because you're taking authority over it. And who gave you the authority? By Jesus. You come against it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and it will listen, and it will hear, and it will obey. What Paul had witnessed, though, the devil made it seem foreign to him, made it seem like something totally of God wasn't of God at all. The life-changing message was spreading like wildfire, and the devil was pulling out all the stops he could to extinguish it. Problem is, he had a massive fire, and he's got one of them little pump things trying to come out the fire. It was already out of control. It was out of control, but he kept supporting it out. Every time a little bit got out, he hit it because he was trying to keep it from spreading. But he couldn't. The devil did know, though, that someone like Paul, if he would get a hold of this, he would be extremely dangerous. And the same goes for all of us. If we get a hold of this, if we really get a hold of this life-changing message of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we can do a lot of damage. A lot of damage to a world that he's had twisted and confused for a long time. Pray for your president. That's all I can say. Pray for your president. But see, Satan, he knew, and he was right. Probably for the first time in his life, he was right. You get a hold of this, it's going to make a difference. And that's why he was so worried. Fact is, everyone is dangerous as far as the devil is concerned when they get a hold of the life-changing grace message of Jesus. It's all about grace. It's grace. Thank God for his grace. Saul, though, he heads off to Damascus. Why? Because it was a major commercial city where many of the trade routes ran from to several of the other cities in the Roman Empire. If he could stop the spread of the gospel from going out, it would be here at the central point of distribution. He just didn't know that it was part of God's plan for him to go there to be used for the spread of the gospel. It was hid to them. In Acts chapter 9, verse 3, Message Bible, he set off. When he got to the outskirts of Damascus, he was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. As he fell to the ground, he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me?" See, he didn't have to scream at him. He had his attention. He said, "Who are you, Master?" "I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down. I want you to get up and enter the city. In the city, you'll be told what to do next." See, he didn't have a vision. He had an up-close face to face with the risen Lord Jesus. Then it was the brightness of his glory that blinded Saul. The glory. Moses couldn't even look at the glory. That's why he instantaneously had the scales on his eyeballs. Because if not, he would have never seen. At this point, the Lord had his undivided attention. And sometimes the Lord has to do extreme things to get our attention. Am I right? Yeah. Well, that day, Saul got saved to the bone. To the marrow. Is that right, Nick? Like Nick's like to take a little deeper than what I said. I said I'm saved to the bone. He says, tomorrow, we got to get it down to tomorrow. Come on, Pastor. I said, okay, Nick, we'll get it there. Verse 10. There was a disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. The master spoke to him in a vision. Ananias? Yes, master, he answered. Get up and go over to Straight Avenue. Ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He's there praying. He has just had a dream in which he saw a man named Ananias enter the house and lay hands on him so he could see again. Ananias protested, Master, you can't be serious. Everybody's talking about this man and the terrible things he's been doing. His reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem. And now he's shown up here with papers from the chief priest that give him license to do the same to us. Now, can you imagine Ananias? He's probably shaking in his boots, right? Oh, I'm sorry. He's probably shaking in his sandals, right? And them straps are falling down, you know? But you can imagine him saying, Lord, you know who this is, don't you? This is the guy who has come down here to do us all in. Surely you must be joking. But the Lord said to him, don't argue, go. He's the one I chose. Who chose him? The Lord chose Paul. To take my message to the Gentiles, to kings and to the Jews. Ananias, he's probably thinking, right? Well, what's the scripture say? Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. It's what he decides. It's who he chooses. The ones he chose always did good. People wanted the other King Saul, but God chose King David. Big difference. God's chosen. Now, the Living Bible, though, I like this. It says, same scripture, this plan of mine, whose plan? This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. It's all God's plan. Verse 17. So Ananias went and found the house, placed his hands on blind Saul, and said, Brother Saul, the Master sent me. The same Jesus you saw on your way here, he sent me so you could see again and be lifted and filled with the Holy Spirit. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than something like scales fell from his eyes. He could see again. He got to his feet, was baptized, and sat down with them to a hearty meal. The Lord got a hold of Saul, and what a powerhouse he turned out to be for the Lord. As Paul learned, just because you may not be used to the new things God is doing in your life and all around for you and in your church, doesn't mean it's not of God. Who are you to judge whether it's of God or not? I encourage you to embrace the change. Don't let the devil steal the new things God is wanting to do in your life and in the ones around you. Because the change that God wants to take place in your life is going to do you good. The devil knows it. He knows it like the back of his hand. That's why he fights so hard to keep you from it. He doesn't want it happening. See, if you will let the Lord have his way in your life, you too can have a Saul to Paul experience. And let me point out to you, Saul was his Hebrew name. His Roman Greek name was Paul. See, back then, in those days, it was not uncommon for someone to have two first names. So he just stopped using the one that everybody identified with, him as the Hebrew Pharisee. That's why he dropped the Saul and went to Paul, because he knew that he would have a hard time being accepted by the Gentiles with that kind of name. And by the way, his last name wasn't of Tarsus. No. Of course, I couldn't find out. I did try to find out if he did have a last name. Nobody in the Bible seemed to have last names, you know. Yeah, I thought so too. It made me laugh when the Holy Spirit revealed that. Yeah, it wasn't his last name. I was, okay, that's pretty cool. I like that. I like that. I'll do that for Timmy. See, it not only will change our lives if we embrace it, it will change our whole world. See, sometimes in the natural, we don't see how God's plans or promises are going to come to pass, especially in our lives and even in our churches. But we have been reassured many times through a prophetic word. He will be faithful over his word, and he will complete the work, and he will make sure that the word happens. It's not up to you. If he's spoken words over you, you don't have to make it happen. He will. If he's spoken over your spouse and you know those words and you're not seeing a change, he said he would do it. You don't have nothing to do with it. If he's spoken something over your children, it's not up to you to judge when it's happening or, well, was it for real? Not up to you to judge it. You heard it. You heard it spoken. Whoever it was that spoke it. If it's a man of God, then guess what? You can take it to the bank. Well, I haven't seen it happen yet. Well, guess what? In Isaiah 46:11, the Living Bible says, I have said I would do it. I will do it. Don't have any doubts. He said he would do it. If he spoke it, he said he would do it. He'll bring it to pass. Not in your timetable, in his timetable. Maybe your spouse, your children aren't ready for it yet, but he's preparing them. But you can't leave them out there. You got to encourage them. You got to give them the word to stand on. Don't be rebuking them all the time. Speak to them in love. It's love. Love makes a difference. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. When you're speaking to somebody in love, you'll get their attention. You speak harshly to them, you definitely are driving them away, and the flaps are going down. They aren't going to hear you because they don't want to hear you. They may be in rebellion. Well, guess what? You just keep praying for them. You could be running as far as you want from God, but somebody praying for you, you're going to someday trip up, and it's going to be the Lord trips you up. When you're laying there and you walk up, yeah, Lord, he says, you know, are you done playing around? I want you to be an administrator there at Aliquippa Christian Assembly. Me? Yeah, you. Yeah, well, you don't have to know anything. Okay, I ran from God. Yeah, I did my things. But I was still running from a calling that he had on my life. Did I know that? No. But as I grew and I matured and I sat and I listened and I listened and I listened, I ended up where I am today. Not by my choosing, but by His direction and His choosing. But I had a spirit that agreed with it. When I got that agreement in my spirit, I said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I say yes." And then I learned to embrace it. When you first do something, and if you don't do it and fully embrace it, it gets a little rough. But if you embrace it and take hold of it and say, "Yeah. Are you qualified?" Probably by man's standards? No. By God's standards? A little different. Because He looks at the heart. In everything, for each and every one of us, He looks at your heart. He looks at your heart. He wants to know where you're at, where you're going. Because if you follow His leading, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. You know what? I think that's enough. I think that's enough. But you just got to remember, though, Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. And in order for that to happen, we have to be willing to draw closer to Him and to embrace the new things He's doing. Amen? Amen. Don't be afraid of the new. Grab a hold of it.